Okay, the November 6th, 2013 meeting of the Story County Board of Adjustments will come to order. Roll call, please.
Miller.
Here.
McGill.
Here.
Steelmeyer. Scarlett.
Here.
Steele, absent.
Okay, the board members, you've been provided a tentative agenda for tonight's meeting. Are there any changes or additions that anyone would like to make? If not, then all in favor of the approval of the agenda for tonight's meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, you've also been given as part of your packets, our last meeting was actually August 7th, 2013. Do we have any corrections or additions to those minutes that we'd like to propose at this point?
Move approval of the minutes.
Second.
So if there are no corrections, the minutes will stand approved as they were mailed in the packets. The protocol as we go, of all of our guests this evening signed in, if you haven't, if you'd make your way over here, we'd certainly appreciate that. For those who have not been here before, I'd like to kind of go through what the hearing process is for the Board of Adjustments. First of all, as we go through each case, the planning staff will present their staff report addressing the conditions of this. We will talk about any letters or communications that have been received by the public prior to the meeting so that we can get those entered into record. We will then give the applicant an opportunity to present information associated with their case. Following that, we will allow for comments from the public to be heard. If you're speaking, we would ask at all times if you would go over to the podium over here to your right as you go and identify your name for the record. We would appreciate that. So we'll listen to all the interested parties as we go through that. After the public comments are heard, we will turn back to the applicant and indicate, ask them if there are any closing comments that they would like to make. At that point in time, we will then close the hearing, which essentially means that input from either the applicant or from the public is closed unless you are specifically addressed by the board. We will deliberate and we'll come with an answer tonight. So this is the kind of a process where it's not that you wait for your answer for later. So we appreciate that and your understanding of the way that this ends up working. So we come then to the heart of our cases this evening, of which we have three, and I think one of our board members has something to say.
I work at a law office. I'm going to recuse myself from decision-making as it relates to our cases tonight, and so I'll not be participating in any decision-making.
Okay, so Victoria has recused herself from the case with a potential conflict of interest. Does anyone have any comments, concerns about that? Okay. Then you are certainly excused. You're welcome to stay or leave as you see fit. To the rest of the board members, just a reminder, according to the code, we must do all of our actions according to a quorum. Our normal membership is 5, which means this evening that we must vote unanimously on all items in order to have passage. So it's not a matter of having a quorum of who's here. It's a quorum of the full board. So all of our votes will have to be unanimous in order to proceed. So just a bit of a reminder as well. So with that, we will then, I didn't ask if there's any other business. That may old stuff I didn't think we had. On the new business then, our first item is CUP 06-13. This is a Swanson conditional use permit. And I think we have Charlie as a staff.
Good evening. As you mentioned, this is a Swanson conditional use permit request. The property owner for this request is Fred Weave. General property location, we're looking at the northwest corner of the intersection of 650th Avenue, which is commonly referred to as County Road S27. Crossroad is 220th Street. The area stretches about half mile west of that intersection and one quarter mile north. Total size of the area is 120 gross acres. Current zoning A1 agriculture. The land is used for agricultural row crop production. And the development plan does designate this property as in the cooperative planning area Tier 3, as it is within 2 miles of the city of Nevada. Map here shows you the area that will be considered tonight. In yellow, County Road, sure if this is going to work. County Road S27 right here, 220th Street right down here, and you can see three quarter-quarter sections totaling 120 acres within that area. Map here again shows that area. Wind turbine is actually proposed to be located right there where that blue dot is, so that gives you somewhat of an idea of where the turbine actually will be located on this property. These site shots we have here, this is actually standing towards about the northeast corner looking over the land. This one, same location, just looking down the road, gives you the idea of the hard surface road and some of the terrain on that. This here at the intersection looking more north, same intersection looking to the west, and then back from the far west boundary of the property looking back towards the northeast. What is being proposed is a single commercial wind energy conversion system unit, which will total about 405 feet in height. The CWEX unit and associated maintenance field will require less than 3/4 acre. The CWEX will produce enough clean energy to equal the electricity consumption of 530 average homes for a period of 1 year, according to the applicant, and will generate electricity for sale to a utility that will use the power to supply electricity to homes and businesses in the immediate area. The LLC that will own and operate the CWEX has executed an easement with the landowners. This easement governs the placement of the turbine on the land of the owner's property. We didn't mention that this property is located within the Nevada Fire District, the Indian Creek watershed, and is partially inside two public drainage districts, being Nevada 17 and Richland 20. The standards of approval for a conditional use permit, the Board of Adjustment will be aware of these. They're on the screen here above, were included in your staff report. Subsequently, if the Board of Adjustment concludes that all those development criteria will be met, it shall approve the application unless it finds that any of those following five criteria on the screen there are happening. Even more so, there are supplemental standards for a wind energy conversion system. They look at things like color and finish, the lighting, the feeder lines, minimum ground clearance from the ground to the lowest point of the turbine blade, signal interference, FAA requirements, setbacks, just to name a few. Going over some of those particular requirements, the turbine will be a tubular monopole type tower that will be painted in a non-reflective color with a matte finish. The applicant has indicated there is no plans to use signage. The lighting will be used near the base of the turbine and around the control hut, as well as required by the FAA. The feeder line between the CWEX and the utility substation on 19th Street in Nevada, that will be buried in the public right-of-way. There will be one service road approximately 15 feet wide, which will be installed with only one access point off County Road S27. The CWEX is designed to operate and be managed remotely, so it is not anticipated to increase traffic, and the applicant did note that they predict roughly about 5 trips a month to the site. The base of the turbine is a circle at approximately 16 feet in diameter, and an area of approximately 60 by 60 feet will be maintained as gravel and grass for the parking of one or two maintenance vehicles when needed. The total height of this turbine will be 405 feet with a minimum ground clearance of 119 feet. Looking at those numbers, that would require a setback of a little over 445 feet from public right-of-way and communication and electrical lines. This particular proposal will have the turbine setback approximately 860 feet from the west right-of-way line of County Road S27 and approximately 915 feet from the north right-of-way line of 220th Street. And the closest single-family dwelling is approximately 1,175 feet away from the proposed turbine. We did want to note that the applicant does show a communication tower located within 2 miles, which is to the east of this site. However, staff did note that there is also a cell tower inside the city of Nevada that is within 2 miles of this site, and it's located in Nevada's Harrington Park. Looking at the acoustical analysis portion of this, this particular applicant has applied for a few conditional use permits. Going back to the conditional use permit, CUP 05-07, approximately 7 years, or approximately 6 years ago now. That particular acoustical analysis did indicate a noise level of 35 decibels at the nearest occupied home. That particular reading or study did show that to be approximately 20 decibels or 36% below the county mandated level. The applicant has stated that a study will be completed prior to, and here it says the last meeting with Story County officials in the CUP process. There's been some modification, or request to modify that, and I'll get into that towards the end of the presentation. The project engineers have included a decommissioning budget in the overall project's financial plan. The applicant claims that a pre-construction survey in coordination with the impacted local road authority will be conducted by the applicant to determine the pre-construction condition of all county roads that will be used during construction. Staff did note that a development notification sign was posted on this site on September 16th of 2013, and those two notification dates I have on there are wrong. Let me get the updated one on those real quick because it's from the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. Notification letters were mailed to surrounding property owners on October 30th, and legal notifications were published on October 31st. So, Planning and Zoning Commission, on October 7th of this year, they did recommend conditional approval of the CUP as put forth in case CUP 0613 to the Board of Adjustment, and they did recommend six conditions on top of that. First condition being an acoustical analysis shall be completed prior to the Story County Board of Adjustment hearing. Second, that all vehicular parking associated with the construction, operation, and maintenance of the COF shall take place on site and shall not at any time take place in the public right-of-way. That the applicant enter into a decommissioning escrow account approved by the Story County Attorney's Office, and they do that prior to the application of the zoning permit. The pre-construction survey that was noted be done prior to the application for a zoning permit. That road authorities be notified 24 hours prior to the construction materials being transported across those jurisdictions' road to the COX site. And that engineers' certifications be submitted with the application for zoning permit. Now, in your staff packet, there was a letter from the applicant, Mark Steffen, requesting on the acoustical analysis that requirement be changed to say that an acoustical analysis shall be completed prior to the submittal of a zoning permit and be submitted with the zoning permit. Reason for this is that based off the letter, the applicant has not fully solidified the type of wind turbine they're going to be purchasing, and because of that, it can have varying degrees of impact on the actual acoustical analysis, and it could change the numbers that come back. So to get the best acoustical analysis we can to the model that they're going to be using, they're asking just for us to require that with the zoning permit. And from staff standpoint, we have no problem with that, but ultimately that decision will be up to the Board of Adjustment. With that, your four alternatives are listed on the screen above, and if there are any questions of me, I'd be happy to answer them at this time.
Couple of quick questions that come to mind. So on the application, as part of the staff review, we've obviously got development land standards, as you referenced, the supplemental standards of A through P, and is the indication that essentially they've met the requirements of all those. So really, as a board, we don't have to deal with any of those items, and there's no sense being repetitious tonight. We've got three applications that are fairly similar, and so I'm probably going to ask this question three times to make sure and confirm that all of those requirements have been met. So we really need to deal with the land use and compatibility of the issues that are in front of the board.
Yeah, correct.
Not all of the A through P, so we don't get terribly redundant here. The other aspect, that the one item was, I thought was kind of interesting from the planning and zoning, I guess I'd like a little bit of background. That first item, you know, requiring some of the board adjustment for a sound study. The development regs have pretty specific requirements. You must meet this, you must meet that, and it's even got requirements that says, if you don't, here's how you can remedy that. So I guess I would like to know, what is the reason for having that be part of the conditional use part of it? If the regs are already tying down the limits and the remedies, why did planning and zoning feel like that needs to be addressed right now?
Well, the condition as it was, the acoustical analysis condition stated that it was prior to the Board of Adjustment hearing. I think the reason because of that was in the application they said that they would have that analysis done prior to the last meeting with county officials. So they just figured last meeting is the Board of Adjustment. we'll just put the condition on there that requires them to have it done at that point. And that's what we had recommended in our staff report to the Planning and Zoning Commission, was to just have that, and it was more or less just following along with what the application.
Well, if the applicant had been silent, it probably wouldn't have showed up as a...
No, we would have definitely noticed that it hadn't been done and required something to be done at that point. But if the applicant hadn't stated that they were going to do it prior to the Board of Adjustment hearing, I think our recommendation might have been with the zoning permit process, since everything else is kind of tied to the zoning permit process that we recommended.
And part of the reason for, you know, you can't help as you go through the exhibits for this evening, that at least the suggested conditions, because we can clearly create our own, the suggested conditions of planning and zoning were not necessarily identical for the three applications, although they were obviously similar in nature.
Yeah, and there's varying reasons for that. You know, there's as far as like a road escrow, that's typically a condition that gets tied to that. Reason it wasn't done in this one is because there's no plans to take access off a gravel road, so the county engineer didn't feel that an escrow was necessary on this particular application. And obviously the board's well aware that with some of our applications, especially when they're taking access off gravel roads, that becomes a condition. So, yeah. I think we've done enough of these wind turbine projects that we kind of have almost a set of conditions that we typically tie to all the applications, and some of those conditions will be applicable to different applications and some of them won't. So.
I took care of the ones at least.
You took care of the ones that I was thinking about.
Came to mind out of that. Okay. Thank you very much. Now we will ask for whoever speaks for the applicant this evening for CUP 0613 to come up the podium and present the information you'd like to present.
Good evening. My name is Mark Steffen and I reside at 2316 Aspen Road in Ames, Iowa, unit 203. I'd like to thank the board for the time it spent reading through the large packet to understand the project. We are an experienced asset. We have 4 wind turbines operating in Troy County, and we have 2 operating in Hamilton County. So we've been through all that starting 7 years ago, as Charlie mentioned earlier. And so some of those were even a little bit more complex than this one, as they were off gravel roads, and we had to deal with all of that. And pretty complex things there. This one is hopefully going to be a lot more straightforward. I think, Mr. Noyer, your point about the timing of the acoustical study makes a lot more sense, because it's, you know, it's a standard and we understand that we have to meet that. Since we initially submitted the application, we did find another supplier that wanted to offer us the wind turbine, so that's kind of, I wanted to give you a little bit more background on our reason to change that acoustical study. And we do want to make sure that we get the exact acoustical studies for the exact unit that we would be installing. With respect to the units that we installed, typically the first 6 units we bought are General Electric machines. They're very similar to the ones that Florida Power and Light installed. They're just one model beyond the ones that they have. And now we're another model year beyond that as well. So they will look very similar, work in a very similar fashion. The other model that we're considering besides GE is also one that's been deployed in Troy County before, and that's the one that Clark County has with the Golden unit. So, we're not considering any elaborate or strange wind turbines, nothing that hasn't passed through an acoustical study before. And all of these manufacturers are very sensitive to the acoustics of the machine, and so they design systems that, you know, comply with the standards that are around the country, which are similar to your standards, I'm sure. So that was all I really wanted to say, and, you know, certainly welcome any questions that you might have.
So from the... just asking it just point blank as such, so you don't view this particular application as having any substantive changes from your previous applications to the board?
The one substantive change I would cite from this is that we are going to have to construct an underground power line.
Mm-hmm.
That has to go back to the substation. In the other instances, we did not have to do that. And there were some overlines that we gave the utility to upgrade, but then that fell under the jurisdiction of the utility.
Questions for the applicant? Okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate appreciate you sticking to it and not going through A through P. It's taken a fair amount of time to go through that. So then we're at the point now that we would like to solicit comments from the public. So if one by one, I have no idea how many people want to speak to which of these. If you would approach the podium one by one and have your name, and we'll be glad to listen to whatever you would like to share with us this evening. Okay, I'm going to assume that then we do have no comments on at least the Swanson one at this point in time from the public. So I'm assuming there's no final comments from the applicant at this point. Anything for the record that we need to enter in from public comment that came in, written, emails, or otherwise?
Nothing official. We just, with the development sign out there, we did have a lot of inquiries about what was going on, and I think sometimes those development signs lead people to believe that subdivision is going out there, so that's their first inclination. But once we told them what was happening, pretty much everybody seems calm, so nothing official.
Well, at this point in time, then we will close the hearing and we'll begin the deliberation portion of these findings. I need to get to my papers separated here. A reminder to the board is as we go through this process, and probably partially explanation to the guests we might have here this evening, we are constrained fairly well as we go through these board applications, and the things that we will be spending our time on this evening are going to be the aspects of the land use plan, and is it compatible, how does it deal with transition, how does it deal with traffic, are we dealing or have concerns about parking and loading or signs and lighting, and then environmental protection. And so that's the first test that we must go through. And then only then, if we've concluded that that is acceptable, then we would move on to the remaining criteria. And I'm going over these now in a little more detail, and I don't intend to kind of repeat this as we go. So once we've decided those first criteria, those first six are applicable, then what we have to do is take an additional test to say that whatever the application is will not adequately safeguard the health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working in the adjoining or surrounding property, that the project will not impair supply of light and air to surrounding properties, that will not unduly increase congestion in the roads or hazards from fire, flood, or similar dangers, that it will not diminish or impair established property values, and that it will not be in accord with the intent, purpose, and spirit of the ordinance of the Sawyer County Development Plan. So that's the things that are going to be repetitious as we go through this evening. But first of all, we'll move to the findings of fact. That was the items that were there from the board. I don't think that we need to... you changed some of the dates, and I guess we can just
That's reflected in the decision and order.
That's in the decision and order, so we're good on that. So we don't need to worry about the corrections on that. Are there any other items that need to be addressed from the board's perspective on the findings of fact?
Move to adopt the findings of fact in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion from McGill and a second from Scarlett to adopt the findings of facts as presented in the staff report prepared and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments. Roll, please.
Miller.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
So we move on to... essentially the decisions, and so this will be our deliberation when the first six criteria is there. Are there concerns on the first six on either compatibility, transition, traffic, parking and loading, signs and lighting, or environmental protection associated with this CUP?
No.
I just don't find any. This seems to be fairly routine. We always have the traffic that's associated with construction, which I think the staff is dealing with conditions, and so we'll have those conditions as we move forward. So if those six items are indeed acceptable, then do we have concern about health and safety, air supply, congestion, property values as we move forward? Okay. Then I would like to suggest that we would adopt the decision regarding the development criteria.
I move to adopt the decision regarding the developmental criteria in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion from Scarlett and a second from McGill to adopt the decision regarding the development criteria in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments. Roll, please.
Scarlett?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye. So then we come down to the order, and at a particular point, since we've agreed that this is an appropriate request, that we have the conditions that are in there, and I think they're indicated in your draft in there, and the conditions, and in this particular case, I think I'll go ahead and read those. Is that an acoustical analysis shall be submitted with the application for the zoning permit, which is per the applicant's request. Number two, which says all vehicular parking associated with construction, operation, or maintenance of the CREC shall take place on site and shall not at any time take place in the public right-of-way. Number three, that the applicant shall enter into an agreement with the county for purposes of decommissioning, of creating a decommissioning escrow account, and the copy of the signed agreement shall be submitted to the Planning and Development Department, along with or prior to an application for the zoning permit, which we have done in the past. Number four, that the applicant shall conduct a pre-construction survey in coordination with the impacted local road authorities to determine the pre-construction condition of roads that will be used during construction prior to an application for zoning. So that protects any damages that might occur during construction. Number five, the Story County Road Authorities shall be notified 24 hours prior to construction materials being transported across those jurisdiction roads to the CREC site and shall give approval of the haul rides, and then that has a lot to do with road conditions at the time. And that any engineer certifications that are required will be submitted with the zoning permit. So if those conditions are acceptable and we have no further, then we would need to craft our order. And I think if you just, since I read those off in detail, if you just reference those conditions as noted, I think we'll be fine.
Okay. Move to approve. The request was prepared by the applicant in case number CUTO6-13.
Discussed by the Story County Board of Adjustment and in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding that all applicable standards.
Second.
So we've got a motion from McGill and a second from Scarlett to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case number CUP06-13, as presented to us this evening, along with the conditions that were submitted on the forms. Roll, please.
McGill?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Your request on CUP06-13 is approved. Thank you. So we will move on now to our second applicant of the evening, and that happens to be CUP03-13, Optimum Wind 1 Conditional Use Permit, and we'll move over to staff.
Good evening. I will do my best to sort of to not sound like a broken record, as this one is very similar to the previous, so I'll kind of cut to the chase on a lot of it. Again, this is regarding case CUP03-13. Property owners, seven different properties with this one. Property owners Kirk and Elizabeth Peterson, Rick and Lisa Sheldahl, and Thomas Sharpnack. On properties located approximately 1 mile southwest of the city of Huxley, all within section 27 of Palestine Township, consisting of 160 acres, all zoned A1 agricultural, classified as agricultural, and are within the cooperative area planning tiers 2 and 3 of the land use framework map, and again is within 2 miles of the city of Huxley. Here you can see the surrounding property owner map that was mailed to all property owners within a quarter mile of the CUP request. The CUP area, you can see the 6 parcels there identified in red, and the blue ones are all the surrounding property owners that were notified of the request. Kind of zoom in, you can kind of see a little bit, again, those 6 parcels. The dots identified in blue
see if I can identified in blue are the three wind turbines. This is the gravel road here. And that's basically right up along a fence line there in between several parcels of cropland. Here you can see kind of zoomed out a little bit the location in relation to the city of Huxley there to the northeast. And again, it's along Highway 210 there, and then 535th kind of intersects the turbines. A couple site shots here. This is looking due east, again, along that fence line there where the turbines, you know, you would see two turbines looking this way. And then this is looking to the southeast, and you can kind of see a nearby property owner there in relation to where the turbines are located. You can see, if you look closely there, to the northeast, you can see the Huxley Tower, water tower, and then this is looking due west, and you can kind of see Slater there, and that's looking straight west there. You would also see one turbine if it were approved. The applicant is proposing here three commercial scale wind turbines, total of 9 megawatts each, 3 megawatts, all manufactured by Akiona Wind. The hub height of the turbines is 92 meters with a rotor diameter of 116 meters. Total height of them is 492 feet. Again, these are the standards of approval that we all look at with all conditional use permit requests, as well as supplemental standards when we're looking at commercial wind energy conversion systems specifically. And again, I won't go through these one by one. As well as we have a significant amount of submittal requirements with CUPs. And then generally, staff noted that looking at all those supplemental standards, which are generally in place to speak to the general standards for all conditional use permit, have been met through the application materials provided to our department. Staff has also analyzed those application materials and found that all the supplemental standards have been met or exceeded by the proposed CUX, and additionally all submittal requirements have been satisfied through this request. And again, we have those five criteria that we must look at if we find all the standards have been met. Staff noted that just generally looking at these, that well over 100 CUX have been constructed in Story County since the adoption of our regulations. Each one has shown that there have been no problems with any of the above. Staff further noted that this does not see that this CUX that is proposed would be any different and thus meet the criterion, and the proposed use is in accordance with these principles. And again, just a note that the burden of persuasion with all these is at all times on the applicant. comments from the interagency review team. Dave Swanson with the assessor noted that the wind towers would be assessed according to County Ordinance Number 179, and that Darren Noon, county engineer, noted that they would need permits from our office for any new driveway locations, and the applicant is currently working with the engineer on those permits. Again, a little typo here, but it's correct in the staff report and in your DNO. Notifications were sent on October 30th and 31st regarding this hearing. A couple of recommendations that the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended for this hearing, very similar to previous, except this one has done the acoustical analysis, so we did not require that. And then also, since this one does take place on a gravel road, we required that they enter into a financial security for road and bridge restoration. So with that, I'll leave you with the following four alternatives, and happy to answer any questions you may have.
Well, again, you set it up there, but for the record, as we go through this,
mm-hmm.
the supplemental standards, A through P, all the technical requirements of heights and distances and noise, and that have all essentially been met from everything that's been submitted to you?
Correct.
Okay.
Ryan, can you go back to where you showed the plat map of where it's going to be and a couple more? Back. There you go.
Yep.
Can you show me where on there in that red area the it'll be? Okay. And how close are the property owners? Are there homes within that area?
They're all outside the required setbacks, which is, you know, they're all outside that.
Okay. So. And you mentioned that they've already done their acoustical analysis?
Yeah, and that was provided in the application materials in the packet.
Okay. Hearing none, then we will move on to the applicant. Then, who speaks for the applicant for Optimum Wind One?
Thank you. I'm Steve Thompson. I'm from Madison County, and I am the CEO for Optimum Wind. We're proposing a wind project here. Looking at installing two or three wind turbines. A little bit on the full study that we get back from Alliance regarding how much power can be used with that fund. These will be axial turbines. Possibly manufactured in the upgrade location, possibly manufactured in state. The one thing we're trying to do is encourage manufacturing in the state of Iowa to work with the turbines that manufacture. I guess that's my introduction.
Steve, I assume you've been developing other wind developments in other places. If you're
so, my background is in operations and maintenance.
Okay.
We have just recently started doing development.
Okay. So, is there anything? I mean, obviously, you've gone through the whole application. Is there anything that's unique about this particular installation from your perspective? Thank you. We appreciate it. And we do appreciate from the applicants not becoming redundant in some of the areas that don't have to be repeated. If you're doing what they're saying, and we're just talking through that, it just takes a lot of time for both the public, people taking time out of their day, and for the board, so we appreciate it. So now we will move on to comments from the public. So, again, if you will, in an orderly fashion, if you've got comments that you would like to state regarding to CUP 03-13, if you would approach the podium, we would appreciate. At this point in time, I tell you the way I'd like to do this is that the applicant will have a chance to do closing statements. And so if you could kind of, we'll register the fact that that's what you want to hear. And at that time, that way we can accumulate whatever we have. So the way I've got it down here is you really want to know if there's going to be two or three and how that's going to be decided. We'll indicate that. I just want to kind of keep it in order so we don't go up, down as we go. Other people that would like to address this particular CUP?
Two parcels family-owned parcels owned by Elwell Inc. That are adjacent to us. And we probably have six other parcels that are within a half mile of us up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we really don't want to look at these. That's the bottom line. I think they're right on the landscape, and I really don't want to hire that. And I mean, you guys can have to do what you want to.
Sure. Other people who would like to speak this evening? Okay. Then we would ask the applicant to come up. I think we've got one question that's on the table, and then also to add whatever other closing comments that you might have this evening. And I also believe Mr. Nelson was asking, I mean, you know, okay, so you answered kind of the two or three, you said it's likely to be three, two. He was also asking, would there ever be more in the future? Any other things you'd like to say in closing?
Not really.
Okay.
Then, question for staff.
When we close, why don't we deal with that then as we go through that? I think it's appropriate as part of the deliberations, I think.
Okay.
I've got one or two myself as we go through that. From staff then, are there any additional things that need to be entered into record as being comments written or otherwise from the public? Okay. Now we can close and begin our deliberation. So present your questions, please.
The question I have is they should only build two turbines. If we approve this evening, will they have to come back for an approval on the third one? Or are we granting an approval for three here?
Your approval today is based off the application as it's proposed today. Any changes to that proposal would require some sort of modification to the original permit request. The extent of that modification is determined by the zoning director. It could either be an insignificant modification, which is done administratively, or a minor or major, either of which would go back to you.
I have the exact same question. So, you know, rephrase it a little bit. So, we would be approving, you know, with these parcels, because these requirements travel along with the land. This is all about land development. That at some point in time, and we don't know the date, that a wind turbine could be developed on one, two, or three sites as presented, but that if they were to modify from that, either try to do a fourth one or try to move the third one, that would be a modification that would then come back. Is that
correct?
Question that I had as I went down through that.
I have a question for staff. This is my first wind turbine experience, so I'm learning as I go. But how many turbines are there currently in that Huxley area, the southwest part of Story County? I know that they're in the northeast, but are there many already down there, or are there any?
We just have the ones by the school there.
By the high school? And,
yeah.
Okay, in the city.
Those aren't quite as big as the ones that are being proposed.
Okay.
Okay, then let's move on. The first thing that we want to look at is to find out whether the record associated with the findings of facts is appropriate, and we'd like to adopt that.
Move to adopt the findings of fact and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
Second.
We've got a motion from McGill, a second from Scarlett, to adopt the findings of fact in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments. Roll, please.
Scarlett?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye. Okay, since I read the ones the last time and brought those in, I did that, like you said, on purpose. We have the motion of the decision, which is first the six criteria that have to do with land development, and then essentially the second five that really have to do more with impact, if you will. Do we have concerns or conversations that we need to have about either the six, which we have to pass first or consider first, or any of the ones in terms of the five that are remaining?
Move to adopt the decision regarding the development criteria and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
Second.
We've got a motion from McGill and a second from Scarlett to adopt the decision regarding the development criteria and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments. Roll, please.
McGill?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
So then we come to the point of the order, which also would include, since we've essentially approved the request, that this is the point where we consider the conditions of approval. The five conditions are included in your draft that is there, and they are highly similar to the ones that we did on the first one as we go down through that. So are there any amendments or consideration on these conditions that any of the board members would like to consider?
I move to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case number CUP-0313 as discussed by the Story County Board of Adjustment and in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding that all applicable standards of approval have been satisfied with the application of the following conditions of approval.
Second.
We have a motion from Scarlett and a second from McGill to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case number CUP-0313 as discussed by the Board of Adjustments and in the staff report, along with the conditions that are indicated on our submittal. Roll, please.
Miller?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Okay. KCUP-03-13 is now approved with the conditions that were so noted. We will now move on to our third agenda item this evening. And the third agenda item this evening is CUP 07-13, and this is Optimum Wind 2. And that's the end.
You get one from each of us tonight.
I noticed that.
I'll even try to be even a little bit more brief. This one does have a couple of different unique factors that I do want to present in some detail to the members of the Board of Adjustment. The case number is CUP-07-13. For our naming purposes, and I forgot to change it on the slide, is Optimum Wind 2. And you'll see a Optimum Wind 3 coming forth in December, just so you know that that doesn't reference the number of turbines or anything in particular. It's just the, our sequential naming that we need to do from an administrative standpoint. Applicant property owners are the Kenny Lindstrom Foundation and Randall and Carol Collings. This is located between Nevada and Ames, between U.S. Highway 30 generally, with one exception, and Lincoln Highway. If you know where the Flexicoil site and the Vetter Equipment site, the new Vetter Equipment, it's that road that runs north to south. And on that intersection of that road with U.S. Highway 30, the last turbine is proposed to be located in that southwest corner. so south of Highway 30. Vast majority, 3 to north of 30, 1 south. Site's about 200 acres, currently zoned A1. All properties are classified as agricultural uses for sake of assessment classification. And we're located in cooperative planning areas Tier 1, 2, and 3 of the City of Nevada. And it is within 2 miles of the City of Nevada. This is a property location map that was mailed for to the surrounding property owners. The properties in red are all those that are under the case for the conditional use permit. Those properties outlined in blue are those within a quarter mile that did receive notice of tonight's meeting. Some site layouts of the proposed turbine. The image on the left goes, just orient, Lincoln Highway is on the north. This is the church on the corner. The existing ethanol plant is to the north, northeast slightly, and then the new plant under construction is directly north. For any of you that came from Ames this way this evening, you'll know that that intersection is closed because of road improvements. Three turbines, north to south, generally in the middle of the two parcel or the two quarter sections. And then the image on the right is the property that is south of U.S. Highway 30, and this blue dot represents the location of the turbine. As was originally proposed and what's before you tonight, the applicant does demonstrate access off of a level B road. I'll discuss that shortly as I go further in the presentation. Again, you've seen this. This is just to show the proximity to the City of Nevada. City of Nevada is more to your right on the screen. Some site shots. This is looking along U.S. FlexiCoil, I could not think of it, is the implements that you see to your right and a drainage ditch. So looking toward back kind of to the south east, you see the two big Chinese wind turbines way in the horizon. And then this is looking to the south. This is at that intersection. Better equipment is on your right. FlexiCoil is on your left, looking to the Collings piece, south of U.S. Highway 30. And then same direction, but just turning and panning towards the northeast. You can see the elevator and then Lincoln Way Energy on the horizon. And so the three turbines would be lined up north to south in that area, general vicinity. It's a 12-megawatt CUX. There are 4 utility-scale wind turbines. They're same manufacturer, and the hub and height is very similar, or it is the same. You've seen these requests, these standards for approval, so I'll go through those. All submittal requirements were satisfied. What I do want to point out is that the applicant at the time of the staff report was prepared for tonight was still working with Alliant Energy to determine how interconnection would be accomplished. There are 2 possible scenarios, and they may be able to shed some light on it this evening. But if an overhead line is proposed, staff would recommend that a modification to the approved conditional use permit, if such action is taken this evening, be submitted that will demonstrate the need and acceptance of all affected property owners. Ideally, we like to see these lines underground, especially to limit the appearance and the impact on the landscape. But in some cases, that just is not a possibility. And again, the applicant may be able to shed light this evening as to whether or not the final design has been achieved. And then on the access, that Level B road, as of a couple weeks ago, the county engineer did take an agenda item to the Story County Board of Supervisors. It is currently the policy of the Board of Supervisors that improvements are not allowed, whether by personal improvements or the county funding the improvements on Level B roads. And so with that, at this time, the engineer has not approved a driveway permit for that site shot that you're for that site as was shown where it went to the west or east. I know the idea to vacate that portion of the road is being brought up to the Board of Supervisors next Tuesday. But at this time, staff is not satisfied that there is adequate access to serve that most southern turbine. I do believe that applicant may present some different scenarios and designs for which that turbine may take access this evening too, but we can discuss that further. But at this time, a driveway entrance permit has not been approved, nor will it be approved as currently demonstrated. So it may have to take access further south. But I'll let you speak to the applicant about that. You've seen all the standards for approval. Again, very similar interagency review comments from Dave Swanson. And again, Darren Moon, Story County Engineer, did, these were his initial comments, and a lot has occurred since that point. Same thing, the legal notice requirement, or the notifications are October 30th and 31st, but the staff report and the decision order does adequately reflect those dates. On October 7th, the Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend conditional approval to the Board of Adjustment. In this particular case, there are 9 different conditions of approval that were put forth. Majority of them are very similar, but number 7, 8, and 9 are a little bit are unique to this application. The applicant, number 7 and 8, excuse me, the applicant shall provide a driveway entrance permit for access onto 590th prior to application for zoning permit. That is still the issue that has not been resolved. The condition of approval does tie it to application for zoning permit. But as you go through deliberations tonight, I hope that you do consider if you take action tonight on possibly removing that condition of approval and tightening it. And Charlie, congratulations. Oh, he's not. I thought he was leaving. Sorry. We'll explain that later, too. The applicant, also at number 8, the applicant will meet with adjacent residents to fully discuss any shadow flicker mitigation that may be necessary before the November 6th Board of Adjustment meeting. And I do know some email discussions have occurred, but I don't know if face-to-face meetings have taken place, so that would be a question to ask of the applicant. Are there any questions thus far?
Shadow flicker?
That is the impact. At certain times of the year, as the blades rotate, it's just a shadow that you see on the ground as the blades. I'm trying to, in the most simple terms, there's a conception out there, and I'm not saying it's valid or invalid. I'm just the way I look at it, that can cause health effects. Currently, our regulations are silent on shadow flicker. We talk about noise impacts, but we don't discuss shadow flicker. It's an area when we developed these 5 to 10 years ago, it was still emerging. So I know greater studies have occurred since we originally wrote the regulations. If you stand certain times at the football field here in Nevada at lower times, different times of the day, you'll see it over there. And then these are your alternatives for tonight.
My questions are more procedural as we go, as we have conversations as we move forward and talk about this overhead line. And you talk about my modification, so my assumption along all of that is that that's a modification that could or would be handled by staff.
Number 6 gets to that. And the way staff looked at it, we would rather prefer it be a minor or a major. One, there is floodplain in general vicinity. And then where the path of the line may be, if it's an overhead line, would bear some, I think it would be important to have that conversation in a public format.
Well, there's both regulatory and technical challenges, let's just say, associated with that. But that doesn't necessarily necessitate that it would come back to this board.
If it's a minor modification, it would. And staff is of the opinion that an insignificant modification that is approved by our department would not be the proper format in which to do it.
I understand the process as we move forward as to whether, depending on our wording and everything, whether this could or should come back to this board or whether it would proceed.
I think by clearly saying minor or major, it takes staff out of it. And staff can actually determine then if it's a minor or a major.
So that wording would allow that decision to happen. We don't have to worry about the wordsmithing on that number.
Right. It would allow staff to make the decision as to the full-fledged new application or is it just a minor modification. Okay. But it would not allow staff to approve an insignificant modification.
So then, although we're going to talk to the applicant later since we're talking to staff, so this is a service level B road, and so the addition of any driveway is considered an improvement? Is that...
It is not maintained nor upgraded in any way by the county engineer at secondary roads. The applicant did discuss with the county engineer the possibility of putting a rock in there on a temporary basis and then removing it after construction. And in the opinion of the county engineer and the board, that is an improvement. That would be contrary to county policy.
So, I mean, is it fair to say then that if this moves forward that the applicant accepts all risks associated to the road on an as-is condition?
The county engineer will not allow any travel, any driveway. He just quite simply would not approve a driveway. Now, if the road is vacated to adjacent property owners, which is a discussion that will start in the next couple weeks, the county is taken out of it. It becomes a civil matter.
So with that, I got it procedurally. I just have to ask that it seems to be a stumbling block here. That anything we could do or consider this evening could become totally moot depending upon this whole driveway.
I think it's what I'll do is I think it's important to hear from the applicant on that matter because I do think they
looked
at... I
just want to hear from the staff procedurally first. And
they looked at some other alternatives. I'm trying to get back to it. Oh, there. Actually, I like this one better. There is some, I know they are discussing options of coming from the south up rather than accessing off 590. That was something that was, and the county engineer did at least in preliminary discussions with me say that is not a level B road. It would probably be appropriate to grant a driveway access permit, entrance permit, but there is a greater length of road of drive that they would have to install. But you're correct. At this point, at least at staff level, we do not know the means of accessing that fourth turbine on the south.
Got another question, but I think it'll wait. Anything else for staff at this point for the findings of fact? Okay, then we'd like to turn it over to the applicant this evening for... CUP 0713.
So once again, Steve Johnson is Optimum Link. And I guess if it's okay, I would propose to be ready to a couple of the issues that are open on the project. So I guess the first issue is the driveway access. We would, of course, prefer that Rubber Dune will be vacated and we can work with the landowners to make an access there. But the backup solution that we're working on and we will work on with the engineer is access from the south to the landowner's property. And we've talked to the landowner a little bit about that too already. And that would be our alternate solution.
Okay. Comments on this overhead line?
Yeah, so I would assume if you do propose to an overhead line, you have to come back with some adjustments being made. But our intention is to shrink everywhere we can the overhead line for us to be a backup solution
And the reason why this one is different than the one that we talked about before?
A little longer distance.
Because of distance?
Yeah, for the extension of the line.
Okay.
We're going to try to work with our EPC contractor to get that to the situation that I thought.
And then the conversation with the neighbors regarding the shadow flicker, what has occurred?
Yeah. So that particular issue has been drug on a little bit by our government shutdown in lack of FAA support. But I think we do have a solution that we're closing this particular focus on the northern gulf service. And taking some most significant shadow flicker on the Scott Link residents. And so what we're going to propose is moving the turbine south and a little bit west. And we have a picture here that hasn't been submitted to you yet that shows that location and the reduction, reduced shadow flicker. So right now, the northernmost turbine is located here. What we're looking at doing is moving it considerably south and west a little bit. And right now, the situation is, what we're looking at right now, the shadow flicker on the wind moment is fairly high in the range of 100 hours per year. So with this move, the shadow flicker would be in the range of at most 10 to 20 hours per year. So that's the normal standard, there's no true standard, the normal expectations are to keep the shadow flicker at 30 or below on home.
Questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I believe that's good. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
We'll now open it up to the public for CUP 0713. If anyone would like to speak, if they approach the podium. Mr. Wendt, would you please, I mean, it's interesting maybe to hear your resume, but really we want to hear from the public. And whatever vitae that you have, are not relative to this particular information. So if you'd stick to the case, I'd appreciate it. Okay. What are your credentials have anything to do with that? If this is your concern, we certainly accept that.
So in the applicant's own engineering report, it says that the consensus of the U.S. regulating authorities are that the minimum is 30 hours a year. As was discussed earlier, Story County did this 10 years ago before the shadow flicker was an issue. I believe you're now behind the time where the consensus of the regulating authorities do control this, and if the applicant hadn't been nice and willing to work with us, they could meet your requirements and still build a service where it was quicker for 30 hours per year or 100 hours per year. Next question. So, what is Java Flicker? They have some parts across the sky that will pass the blade and blade attorney and it'll flicker on residents. $100 per year, it only takes an hour at most. There are no references.
there needs to be a better standard for what kind of plan is acceptable. If you want transparency, you need to be able to go back and see where those numbers are coming from. My estimate is much higher. Next slide, please. And what I would also want to point out is when the production tax credit for wind energy was passed 20 years ago, since then there's been a natural gas boom. And why is that important? Well, that's important because we can produce the utilities have added production to produce electricity when the wind doesn't blow. We have much more gas than we did now. The production tax credit has been approved four more times. The last time was before. There's no fault of their own, the wind turbine company, to go bankrupt if the federal government turns off the 2.1 cents per kilowatt hour subsidy that is being applied, and the utilities are already producing electricity from gas for the wind as well. So this makes electricity with cheap gas, and that picture I showed with the turbines, derelict turbines, what are the companies going to do if they can't sell their electricity because the gas electricity is going to be cheaper? I think they'll have to make and this is what I'm concerned about. My experience in decommissioning, I worry about these things, what's going to happen, they're going to defer maintenance, they're going to cancel the turbines. So what I would really like to see is a starting at the bottom, is that the Florida County Commission's own decommissioning study to look at local salvage values, valve salvage and aim, how much salvage can they handle, transportation costs go up, several turbines are being decommissioned. And I really follow this question as an academic that having no references on the industry study. You guys are gatekeepers, you guys get to decide whether that engineering study with Apple is acceptable. That's up to you. And then the top one, that has been resolved because the Optimum Wind was nice enough to work with me. They want to do it right. So they moved the turbine. There's also a retrofit issue. So if there are folks in Story County who have been suffering under this coding, it would be possible for turbines to be retrofitted with a sensor that can detect when the conditions are right, and then we'll shut the blades down for the 30 minutes or an hour if there's a quicker condition for turbines. So I thank you for letting me voice my concern.
I feel, and I appreciate you sharing what you have. Don't get me wrong on that aspect of it. You do, however, and I need to point this out, I believe have a misconception about what this board is about. We have to deal with the land development regulations as they exist. We don't modify. We don't interpret. We are very bound by what we're doing. So your comments are probably best held, unfortunately, although I listened and I have empathy for a number of the topics there. Actually, the planning and zoning people are the ones who do deal with the land development regulations. We don't. So to be honest with you today, because the regs don't say anything about flicker, and whether I personally agree with that or don't, means that this particular board can't deal with flicker.
Yeah.
And excuse me? I don't know that I entirely agree with your interpretation, but I understand what you're saying. Yep. Yep.
My name is Gary Anderson, and I represent Zeller Equipment. We're at 598th Street on the southwest portion of that property, right in front of Highway 30.
My principal concern is not necessarily the fact that we're going to develop the area and put the firms in there. Our concern is the trials and tribulations that we've experienced on 590th Street since we moved into our new location at Beverly Equipment. We shut down. We moved into our location on March 20th, and shortly thereafter, they shut down Highway 30 for our retaking project. That's fine. We understand the development and growth opportunities. We are now experiencing on our north end the development of the ethanol facility and the road shut down for our north side now. So we have no access whatsoever from the north side to our business. Our principal concern with the development and growth here is what's going to happen to 590th Street during construction. There is, as you put on your slide up here, a creek that comes through there that is supported by only a one-lane bridge. When you're going to be constructing and putting up these wind turbines, our principal concern is how much damage it's going to do to the road in that area, and then what, after the fact, once they are up, what's going to be done with future construction and the future building to access that road. Once the construction project is completed with the DuPont project and the ethanol facility, 590th Street has the opportunity to access an inordinate amount of traffic going north and south through that corridor. I think that's something that we as citizens and you all need to take full address with. Part of that road has been paved, but we need to address the rest of that issue with regard to the road in that particular area. Thank you.
My name is Randall Collins, property owner on the south side of Highway 30. When presented this opportunity to be able to put up the wind turbines, I was ecstatic about the possibility, still am ecstatic about the possibility. We're using something that continues to blow, meaning wind blows almost every day of the week. It doesn't require the fracking process of ejecting water or chemicals into the ground to get natural gas out. Like then we'll use something that's actually harnessing something that already totally exists in the air.
Other people this evening that would like to register their comments? Okay. Hearing none, then we would ask that if the applicant has any closing statements to make, this would be your opportunity. Okay. No, that would be part of the deliberations we get to that point. From staff, do we have any other recorded, written comments from the public that need to be put into the record? Okay. Then we will close this particular portion of the hearing and begin the deliberations. We had a couple of procedural things. We've heard now a change in location. How does that change any of the documentation or actions that we might need to take this evening? Location of the northernmost one may be relocated. Do you have records of that, or do we need to...
I don't. It's in the same parcel. I think given that's in the same parcel and it's not moved off, I would recommend adding a finding of fact that the applicant presented a revised plan for turbine number one. Is it turbine number one? And
that would be in the findings of fact. Okay.
And
why don't you leave that up to us at this point in time?
Okay.
So at this point in time, it's really been turned over to the board, and hopefully, if you've got something, we'll get to that as we move through this.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
We've got the question on location, we've got the question of the driveway, we've got the question of the overhead line, we really have enough here in this for us to make a decision on this? Isn't this something that we really, some of these things should be nailed down?
That was part of my question, was the procedures of the staff.
I mean, this is looking to me more like this is an issue that should be tabled until some of these others are finally resolved.
I would agree with you that that is, and it is the fourth option that we presented to the board, and you presented each and every month when you have meetings with that option. This is, I think, a unique enough application that enough answers remain on the table that could affect the location, especially not so much the turbine number one, but the one that's south of Highway 30. I do believe that vacation discussion will be further along over the between now and December, if it's brought back at the December meeting. Even at that, the applicant can have additional conversations with the county engineer of having access off the south, the east-west road to the south. Was it 250th? Is that 250th? Yeah.
We just seem to have a few too many loose ends here, and that's why I was wondering, what do we have to document, what do we have to change, and where are we going? I always want to do these things carefully as we move forward. Now, the question procedurally then, if it is tabled at this point, at what point do we pick it back up?
You'll table it. I would recommend you reference the discussion. If you table it, it will be placed automatically on the agenda as old business. And so at your next meeting, which is December 4th, I believe, you could choose, if all the answers are presented, if solutions are presented by the applicant, to remove it from the table and have your deliberations at that point. And if the answers are not done by then, it's just tabled and you can bring off the table in January or whenever the answers
so
are.
We would table it, and let's say that it comes back as old business in December. We would start with a staff report focusing on things that have been learned since the last time we met, and then go on through the applicant, and then go on through public and that type of stuff. Would that be the procedural thing?
Correct.
Other feelings, Lynn? Do you have a...
I agree. I think we have too many unanswered questions.
Well, and even knowing that the turbine's on the same parcel, I haven't had an opportunity to make sure that the setback requirements as defined in the ordinance are still satisfied. Given the location as described, I could sit here and say more likely than not they all are, but I haven't been able to input the latitude and longitude in and do that type of analysis.
I move that we table CUP 0713 until our December 4th meeting and add it to the agenda as old business.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to table CUP, make sure I get my right numbers here, CUP 07-13, bringing it forth and recommending it for old business for the first meeting, December 4th, 2013. So, unfortunately, we do try to resolve these, on the evening of these, but, as the board has indicated, that there's just a few too many loose ends, and we just don't want to leave them hanging there as we're going through it. So we appreciate the patience of both the public and the applicants that have participated this evening. We do, don't we? I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Roll, please.
Scarlett.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
If I may, for the members of the public present, if the applicant does provide the additional information to staff, so it does go on the December, it'll be on the agenda, but if we have a sense that it will be removed from the table, we will send out another notice. But if we know if they haven't submitted the application materials, we won't send you a notice. Is that clear? I mean, we don't want to necessarily send a notice and then have to send out another notice and another notice. So if you don't receive a notice, and it'll be, we haven't done the schedule, they'll likely go out the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, the notices. So, what?
Sorry, I did look at that since Thanksgiving lands on a Thursday, as always. That's no surprise to anyone. Let me open my calendar here. I looked at that. So Thanksgiving is on the 28th. Is that correct? So I thought we would have the legal notices published on the 21st and mailings on the 20th, if you want the date.
So if by the weekend preceding Thanksgiving, if you do not receive a legal notice, I mean a surrounding property owner notification, it won't be on the, it'll be on their agenda, but they won't be considering it. Because of the table that has to go on the agenda. And if you have any questions, you can call us and we'll guide you through it. So don't be surprised when you see it on the agenda, but you don't get a notice.
Any other business come for the board this evening? Anything, Leanne, that you have?
You do have before you your 2014
right.
meeting calendar. And just a quick update, staff is has presented you with the calendar for next year. We recommend revising the deadlines to the 13th of each month, unless, of course, the 13th happens to fall on a holiday, and then it would go on the 14th.
And so then all of those, like April 14th, where it says that, would all change to the 13th? Okay.
No, if it says 14th, we've already looked at it. It's either
exactly.
a holiday or Saturday or Sunday.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay, we ought to have a motion to adopt the calendar as presented by staff.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second to adopt the 2014 meeting schedule as presented to the board. Roll, please.
Charlotte.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye. Okay. Any other comments from board members this evening? Do we have any comments from the staff?
I do. I want to invite the members of the Board of Adjustment to attend a tour of the Ames Mine. That is the underground mine northeast of the city of Ames. Friday, November 22nd at 3 o'clock p.m. And if you could let me know by this Friday around lunchtime whether or not you can or cannot attend, or if you can attend, just let me know. And if you do have a majority of your membership, we'll have to post a notice. And just for your benefit, members of the Planning and Zoning Commission are invited, staff will be attending, and members of the Board of Supervisors. And they will have vans available, and it's to give them an idea of how many people to plan for. If you've never been there, it's quite an experience.
Just to kind of prepare yourself, Leanne, as we go, I mean, while we can't write regulations, we can ask staff and even the board, you know, Board of Supervisors, other ways to consider certain things associated with the regs. This aspect, since there are indeed standards that we've heard tonight that weren't around on this flicker, we may well be, after the next meeting, suggesting that be evaluated by staff for potential inclusion on future. We can make that recommendation, even though we can't change regs at our level. We can pass that note up on an even more formal fashion. I think that's, I mean, it's a legitimate concern. I don't really have a problem with it as we go through. So you're likely to hear from that. So if procedurally there's something we need to do to get that right the next time, that's why I'm ever talking to the staff comment portion.
Yeah, in the past, when we've had that happen, a couple instances, fencing, I can't remember the others off the top of my head, but kennels. Quite simply, it's a written letter from the chair of the Board of Adjustment on behalf of the Board of Adjustment outlining the issue and asking the Board of Supervisors to direct staff to bring forward changes or review it and bring forward necessary changes.
That'd be exactly what I... That's my inclination at this point. Obviously, we haven't done anything as a board, but I just wanted to at least put that out there for future consideration. Okay, so do we have a meeting? I assume we do, from what we've been saying on December 4th.
You do. You have you have another conditional use permit.
Have an agenda.
And your election of officers.
Hearing nothing else at this point in time, I will call this meeting as being adjourned. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for everybody's participation.